miss being here. We're going to talk for a short while on deceit and honesty. And I think one of the things that kind of made me want to look at this lesson is just, I always look at things within the lesson that I need to improve my own life with. But I think the political race between Hillary and Donald J. Trump, probably of seeing the different deceit and things that went on with that on a political level. And I'm not going to get up here and preach politics. I'm going to say this, that there was two candidates. I don't care who you voted for. That's why we have a democratic society, I guess. That's your business. I voted for whom I thought was the best president. But where I really get discouraged with things that go on and in those levels of politics, I guess, is the creation of fake news, for one thing. I don't know if y'all noticed that. And it's hard to say this, but fake news has become a real thing. That's kind of hard to wrap your hand around that. But fake news, if I need to say something that's really going to get a situation stirred up about my opponent, then there can be some things brought out in some news or something that maybe a foreign country will say to stir something up. And even though there's what it will be is by the time the media sifts through all this and their political ways and views, they may never get to the truth, but yet it has maybe helped them in some way. So they'll create this fake news. And there is today going to be, from what I understand, going to be some courses and things and going to be some education on how to do fake news. It's still, to me, fake news is still a lie. It's if it's not an honest thing, I don't care what it is, it's still, in my book, to be a lie. Deceit and honesty, that's what we're going to speak on today. Seen a lot of deceit lately, and I think that we need to look at some of the definition to see if what it is. Deceit, false, fraud, guile, vain, lie, decoy, delusion, trick. Strong's definition of honest is fair, good, morally upright, honorable, and straight. You know, if you've ever had some business dealings with someone and both people feel, hey, you've been straight with me and you're happy. And you felt like you've been treated in an honorable way, possibly if you have been treated by a certain person or upright, good, morally, fair. You know, you can think about that in every walk and level of life. All the way from a school kid, well, that wasn't fair. Maybe a coworker, well, that wasn't fair. There's so much of, you know, that wasn't fair, and that's true. The world's not always fair. And as growing up, you'll find that out in life. When you think about deceit, and we're going to go throughout the Bible here, we'll look a little bit in Proverbs and read some on deceit and honesty. It gives us some good ideas of doing those two comparisons. It is between the difference of night and day, the difference of hard and soft. Every contrast that you can think of, deceit and honesty lies like that. There is nothing in between. There is no fake news. There should be deceit and honesty. And the way we need to be as Christians, we need to be honest in all things, in all walks of our lives, because it will help you in the long run of everything. You know, you might think about deceit and a lie, and you think about this so much. There's something that you really want. You ever been like that? And you know, as a kid growing up, you want it so bad. And if you can't get it honestly, maybe I can just maybe bend a little bit somehow or another to get it. And that's where we start getting in the danger, even as adults. If we want something bad so much that if I can't get it the honest way, I'll just tell a little lie or write something that's not right or do whatever financially or do whatever in a wrong way, a cheating way, to get what I want to achieve. You know, it's still wrong. And that's the difference in deceit and honesty. We need to stay fair in all our ways of life. Proverbs on deceit and honesty. Proverbs 11:3, the integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth them from death. The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright shall deliver them, but transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. You know, when you think about deceit and honesty, you can read to me just about honesty in this particular scriptures and find out that it will guide you, that integrity will guide you, that we can read about it and we can see that it not only guides you, it directs you. It puts you in the paths that you need to be in and everything. And in the end result, in Proverbs 11 and 6, we can find out that it will deliver you. And how true that is, even in the scriptures that we read. When we read something and we're being guided in those scriptures, we can find out and we're being directed. And in the conclusion of all that, brethren, one day we will be delivered. When we read the scriptures and we find out that there is one God, one Lord, one faith, and we read of those things, we know our salvation, we are going to be delivered. You know, I just had an interesting conversation with a young man named Ben. And when you think about being guided and directed and being delivered as Christian, we take a Bible, we read it as truth. And we read it as the truth that we know, and we have faith in those things of the Bible as the truth, the Word. And we believe that we will be delivered from that, the evils and the things of this world, because we're reading that. We believe it and we're obedient to it. But yet the world is not always that way. Young man Ben was a gentleman who come up hunting this past week, and we had a good hunt. It's two guys from California near Sacramento, and nice people, had wonderful conversations, had some good conversations. And one night, Ben and I was staying out late, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, in the hunting buggy, stars bright, pointing out stars, looking, seeing falling stars. It was a good scene. So I'm like, you know what? This is an opportunity. When we prayed for the meals during the course of that time, you can tell. And there was not some beliefs there. And so I thought, I'm going to take advantage of this opportunity. We started talking about religion. We started talking about beliefs, and he was of one who just believed in a higher power. Sure enough, I happened to hit that one kind of on the head. I thought that might be what either it just didn't believe in creation and that kind of things at all, or just kind of, Sean can probably tell us what exactly those are. I can't tell you now, but it's someone who's not going to say God is God, one Lord, I am Yahweh. Everything that the Bible speaks, they will not say that that's correct. So he won't put a timeline on the Bible, didn't believe in that 7-day creation. A lot of things that we had differences on. And we got talking about that. This lesson just popped my mind. The deceit, the decoys, the delusions. Throughout a life for him of parents divorcing, several different religions, you can see some things that was in front of a man that probably just led him away from religion. And so we got into the conversation, and I'm like, well, tell me, you know, what do you think about some of these scriptures in the Old Testament? You know, the one that speaks about the stars that the astronomers now are speaking about, that God said a long time ago, the characteristics of them that's true. And what about, I asked him, I said, you talked about Alexander the Great a moment ago, the secular part of history about Alexander the Great. And I said, did you know? So I started going back to the Bible with him and saying that he basically took all the ruins that King Nebuchadnezzar had knocked down and built the causeway out to the little island of Tyre right off the coast of the Mediterranean. So I was trying to get him in his head into the Bible. Some of the secular history he knew, but he just did not and ever want to say, you know what? I just don't believe. But that's exactly what it was. He would not believe that there is a God. And unless we can be able to somehow help someone get into that area of saying, you know what, I believe. It's hard. And there's not much chance of them ever getting to a point of being obedient to the gospel, because they won't believe to start with. I want to tell you, brethren, deceit is real today. Satan is deceiving. Delusions, the things of beliefs, he's getting into people's minds and he is twisting around. And the biggest cause that he's doing that is to keep people from believing in God. Proverbs 12:13, the wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruits of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands shall be rendered unto him. He that speaketh truth sheweth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. There is that speaketh like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. You think about deceit and honesty, you get into part of Proverbs really focusing in here of just speaking truth or lie. And you know, whenever you, again, as Christian, I don't believe Christians are going around wanting to tell a lie and doing that in their Christian life. Why? For one thing, we have warnings about it from the Bible that teaches us not to do that. You know, as a child, maybe growing up, sometimes maybe we had that, some things that we picked up in life that maybe it was cursing, a bad habit. Maybe it was lying. Sometimes a bad habit can come across us. I remember as a child, one time my parents smoked and I wanted to be like mom and dad. I wanted to smoke. So I went out behind the wood pile of cedar trees, basically old cedar logs, and took some cedar bark and ground it up and took a paper sack and rolled me a cigarette and started smoking that thing. And wanted to be like mom and dad. So my parents come around the block and into the alley and I didn't know they were there, but an old 69 International pickup truck. And I'm sure dad could see the smoke coming over the wood pile, but I come out and seen him. I said, oops, you know, and threw it down and come out. And my dad said, are you smoking back there? And I said, no. And he said, well, come on over here. And I got a pretty good spanking for that. And he told me, he said, that's not for smoking, that's for lying. And he said, the smoking part you're going to do one day, you know, whether or not it's your business. But he said, I don't want you to lie anymore. And that was a lesson for me. And I can think of a couple of occasions as a child, a couple times that happened. But I got caught, thank goodness. And I got some good spankings for it. But those are the teachings that we need to learn in a physical way. Because when we read it in a spiritual way, there's a reason that we get disciplined when those things happen. And God is telling us, even in a spiritual sense, that there will be discipline for a lying tongue. We don't need it. We don't need it in our lives. Proverbs talks about it, and we don't need it at all going on. Deceit and honesty. Proverbs 12:19, the lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace is joy. Proverbs 12:21, there shall no evil happen to the just, but the wicked shall be filled with mischief. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. I want to be part of being God's delight. I do not want to be an abomination. And lying lips, we understand God hates. He doesn't care for that at all. So who started deceit? Think about that. You know, it's real. There is deceit in our lives. It's out there in life. Who started it? John 8:44 says, ye are the father of the devil, and the lust of the father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So we see where Satan is the father of all lies. It is who started it. It's been a fight from the beginning, and he's always started up with lies. So, the birthplace of deceit. If you'll look in Genesis 3:3, we can find out the birthplace of kind of where it got its start. It says here, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God doeth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired, to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. We see in the scriptures where Satan got involved with man. God created man. He got involved in throwing that one word "not" in there, and lied. And got Eve all twisted up in the truth. And then whenever she found out here that she went ahead and influenced husband here, of course, and man. And we see the fall starting here, don't we? You know, where do you see it today in your life? Where do you see it on the news? Where do you see it at all when you're speaking to someone? And it's usually self-marketing. It's networking for self, and when those lies start like that. And it's usually where you can say, well, you know, there it is. And there's lies that go on, and there's manipulation that goes on in people's lives. And many times it's because of being self-willed, self-centered, of something that you want. What I've learned and have seen about something that is a weakness usually, when it comes to religion, say it was with Ben, okay? if you start really truly backing up in all that and with these different beliefs of I'm not going to believe, it goes further than that. So much further than that all the time. If you'll just really look in some of those lives and you see drunkenness in there, you'll see drugs in there, you'll see a lot of things that they enjoy that they truly don't want to give up. And so once you back up, you get into engineer this thing down and go opposite, you find out really it's this. So therefore, I'm just not going to believe. You know, when you think about that though, in a person's life, if what's worse? A man who just says, I'm not going to believe because I want this in my life. Or a person who go ahead and says, I believe, and he starts following the things he needs to be doing as a Christian, but yet he has those things going on in his life. Now, I can respect a man who says, you know what, I drink, and I'm not going to be a hypocrite and come up there and sit down on Sunday morning. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to drink, and I'm going to tell you flat out. And if you at least you know what you're up against, and maybe you can visit with him about that, and hopefully someday be able to turn some interest to get them away from that. But you can just see, if you don't have honesty to start with, it's like trying to diagnose a person and figure out what medicines to give to that person to make them whole once again. It's hard to do because they'll just never tell you the truth. So spiritually, the same deal. Where is it that lies within that person, really, deep down, we need to get to? And as far as delusions and deceit and lie, sometimes it's very difficult to get down to the what we need to do as preaching the gospel. The birthplace of deceit, Satan is the one that started it, and he started it with Adam and Eve. Deceit in the garden became a world problem. 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Like Adam and Eve, we cannot hide from God, can we? Jeremiah 23 and 24 says, can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? You know, when we have those things in our lives going on, even though that we may try to bend the truth and hide things in our lives that we don't want nobody to know about, God himself is seeing it. He sees everything in every secret place, and we can't hide from God. Adam and Eve tried, they could not, and we cannot either. Adam and Eve started three categories of world deceits or delusions. You think about this and look at these scriptures here compared to one another on the board. And we'll find out there truly is about three categories. In Genesis 3 and 6, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So the early start of sin. 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. So we see it hasn't changed. It has not changed. It still continues to be a lust in a person's life that's there. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life that gets us in trouble, that we can't hide from God. And it's of the world, not of the Father. So what do we do? Can't hide from it. If you're like me, you're not perfect. These things might creep up in your life. What do we do? How do we guard against that? How do we guard against the deceit and the delusions and the things that go on that Satan's throwing out there trying to trip us up with? How do we guard? Start with just guard your soul. We find out in Mark 4 and 14, the sower that soweth the word. When you know, when you got the word in your life and began reading the scriptures and was beginning to have someone teach you the gospel and the being obedient to this gospel, you had the word sold to you. Someone took the time to bring that to you. And you soaked that in. And then in your life, maybe at that time you felt wonderful spiritually. As you go through your life, maybe through the years you have felt weak. Maybe you've crept along and maybe went to the left road instead of the correct road. Maybe there's times that you got tripped up. Mark 4 and 15, it says, and these are they by the wayside, where the world is sown, the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. We see that many times that it's really difficult for new Christians when they have heard the gospel and begin this walk in Christ. There's so much of the same people that they have hung around, so much of the same habits that might creep up back in their lives that was there before. To be built up and to be strong is so important. To have support from other Christians is so important. Things get in the way. Proverbs 22 and 5. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doeth keep his soul shall be far from them. That word keep, you know, when you think about thorns and snares in the way of the froward, he that doeth keep his soul, that word keep is to grab, literally get a hold of and to hold it. So when you get a hold of and grab your soul, you're going to be far from those things. Have you thought about thorns and snares in these words and these comparisons that they do in the Bible? Thorns and snares. Some of the things that I hate is thorns. Greenbrier. Going on a fence row and get some, maybe a hoe or a machete and just get tangled up in it. You've got to have long sleeves, some leather gloves, long pants and boots, and just attack it to get it out of those fence rows. And you know, these thorns that we can find out, you can get tangled up in them. They'll get around your feet and you'll fall. And we find out in the scriptures, when it comes to guarding your soul, it's going to be that way. There's things in your life that you must guard from. And that here it's comparing it with thorns and snares. What do we do to guard our souls? What do we use? When you think about deceit, it chokes the word, and it's, we've used a comparison of thorns here, so let's continue to read about that. Mark 4:18, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Now, when you think about honesty, it says in Luke 8:15, here in the parable of the sower, it says, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, you grab it, you keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. So here's the comparisons in it, like black and day, deceit and honesty. We let a good heart in our lives keep our soul. We keep that word that we've heard. We continue with patience and we bring out those fruits that it teaches us to bring out. Versus the deceit. We see here Mark 4:19. Maybe possibly we've let things get in our lives. Cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and lust of other things entering in chokes that word. The briars grow up, can't get sunlight. It chokes it, becomes unfruitful. What is it in your life that's cares of the world, brethren? In the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things. What in your life and in my life do we need to caution from when we get these warnings in the scriptures? As far as the cares of this life, are you happy right now where you're at in the time that you have for the Lord's work? I know I don't think I am. I really don't. And that's one of the things that Bonnie and I are really trying to work hard at is, we was talking a little bit, I was, to Garland about that, is getting rid of weights that so easily beset you does not have to necessarily be sin. It can be a lot of different weights in your life that you have going on that you just, it's there, and you don't have time. Something Alexander the Great did say is time is your most valuable asset you'll ever have in this life. When you think about it and looking at it in a deal like this here in these words of being unfruitful versus patience, you'll be able to bring forth fruit. You have it working for you. You have the time to do it. You know, cares of this world can be a lot of different things. For me, it's responsibilities in two places, and it's really difficult. We're working on that. Rather have more time to be with brethren I want to be. I want to sit down and study with people. I want to sit down and visit people. I want to sit down and do things like that more, and it's difficult right now in my life to do it, but working on it. What keeps you from doing that in your life? Is it, I mean, honestly, I don't know. For me, it's at 58 years old, it's some responsibilities with business. For you at maybe 30 something years old, maybe it's kiddos and a lot of sports, a lot of things, a lot of school activities, a lot of just on and on and on. I know, been there. Promise, been there. We pulled our son off the mound one time pitching. We wasn't real popular, Bonnie and I, on a Sunday, or I can't remember now, Wednesday. Wednesday night service. Bonnie's shaking her head. Wednesday night service had a no-hitter going on some select ball, and pulled him off, and let's go to church. We'd already talked to coach. We're coming out at this time. We wasn't the most popular people at the time. But those are the things, and I don't say it boasting, but there are some things that we did, or I did as a parent. I ain't throwing Bonnie under the bus, that I did as a parent that were right, and there was not some that I did that was right. Some of it was just got too involved, and it will eat your time up. And there's things to me, when we look at this scriptures right now, the cares of this world, we've got to be honest. We can't no more let it just be deceit. We've got to be honest and look at our lives. Is that going on in my life? Is there cares in this world that's deceiving me? Is there riches that I go after trying to get more that's going on in my life? Where's enough? Are we going to be on our deathbed one day saying, I wish I'd worked another hour overtime? Or are we going to be on our deathbed saying, I'm ready to meet my maker. I'm good with this. You know, we've got to see what's important in our lives. We need to find some balance in our lives. There is some balance. We're going to find out here in the scriptures in just a minute, talking about that part that is, I think, will be balance. And the lust of other things. I would like to really study that on other things. It could probably be a lot of different things. I'm not sure what all it is, but I know it's nothing that needs to be in our lives because it makes us unfruitful and it's deceiving. It's a delusion. Cares of the world is deceitful and chokes the word, bottom line. Luke 12:15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in abundance of the things which he possesseth. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. There's a lot of things in this world to love. There's some nice things out there. And it's difficult. Maybe things in your life that doesn't necessarily have to be bad, but it's things that we find ourselves working harder to be able to get. I can take you in my shop and show you a lot of stuff in there I probably really don't need, but it's been there. Haven't used it in a year or two, so I know I don't need it, but it's still there. Covetousness must be very aware that it's a problem. Beware of thorns called conformed and entangleth. That's kind of a mess with your mind there a little bit, but that's what it was meant to do. When you think about entangled or entangleth, I think of a ball of string all around. You just can't get out of it. Around your feet, around your arms, and almost like a straitjacket. And it's like, you know, you can't get to your pocket knife to get out of it. And you're just all entangled in this string, a ball of string. I don't think of so much about the thorns. I guess I'm thinking more of the entangleth here. But when you think about thorns and these cares of the lives and the things that so easily gets us all tied up, conformed and entangleth. This is something that truly, I believe, really is it's a problem. It's a problem with Christians. And we must look at this in our lives. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When you think about conformed, it comes to my mind of taking a piece of hard clay and working it until it forms into something that you want it to be in. And through the times of life that we live in, slowly we become conformed. And that's a danger. We can become conformed because maybe there is a peer pressure, I guess is the word I'm looking for, a consensus of more people that's saying, hey, you need to be this way, instead of just saying, you know what, I don't need you. I don't need that in my life. And we walk away from it. Yeah, you may be called things. You may be looked upon as something and different things of being different. But yet we find out in our lives that if we are not going to be transformed when we go into the water and live that lifestyle, that slowly and become conformed back to the old man, the old ways in our lives, we're going backwards. And we don't need that in our lives. We need to search out what's acceptable and the perfect will of God. And it may be different sometimes with people, friends, coworkers, people that we want to impress, people, young people, as far as being around someone, you get some peer pressure. I want to tell you, do not conform. Think about being transformed when you went in that water and you was transformed at that time by the renewing of your mind that we must stay that way. Have faith in the scriptures of staying that way. Don't be conformed. 2 Timothy 2 and 3 here, we find out, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Verse 4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. I guess one that hits me flat between the eyes is that one right there. When I was doing this lesson, when I looked at that, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. When we chose to be a child of God and we decided to go in that watery grave of baptism and we were transformed, we did have our mind renewed. We knew what was up, we were up against in the scriptures as far as our responsibilities and truly a duty as a child or as a soldier. In that scripture that teaches me, if I'm going to be a soldier, then I need to please the one that chose me and not get caught up and entangled in the affairs of this life. So what affairs of this life that we truly do we get entangled in? We can see, and again, it doesn't have to be a sinful lifestyle, brethren, but it is something that is that delusion part that I think we so many times fail to recognize. Satan is putting all these things and distractions in front of us many times that he will eat your time up to the point where you don't even at the end of the day feel like praying sometimes. You're so tired, you go to bed and you wake up the next morning, oh my, I didn't even pray last night when I put my head on the pillow. So we find out there is delusions and distractions and deceit involved in these things of being entangled in the affairs of this life. It's not a good trade. Thorns called deceitfulness of riches. Proverbs 22 and 1. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches and loving favor rather than silver and gold. The rich and the poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor in life. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thy own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle towards heaven. You know, when we read these scriptures in Proverbs, and we see it throughout the Bible, talking about the deceitfulness of riches, and these are some of the scriptures that I really would like to sit down and study with some people about and to find out what is truly riches. What's riches in your life? Is it $100,000? Is it $250,000? Is it $100,000 more than you have? Is it gold, silver? I don't know. But at that time in these writings, I'm just going to say that there was probably a lot of evil going on, a lot of cheating going on, and a lot of things going on to a little bit lower class of people at the time of keeping the poor beat down and the richer getting richer. And again, that's what I can see from some of these scriptures. So it was a point of where the rich had no time for God. It was not in their lives. It was not part of that plan. It was nothing but getting more. And so when these scriptures were written, I'm sure it was trying to draw them away to look at some different views in their lives instead of just these monies. Don't labor to be rich all the time. Cease from your own wisdom. Those things are just going to fly away. It's not going to be here one day. You know, we can see that and see the truth and the wisdom of Proverbs, can't we, in that? Here's the danger and the snares that are set for Christians in those areas that we need to pay attention to. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You know, when you think about dangers and snares, and when you think about these things that we work so hard at towards this world that eats up our time and our resources and going after that mighty dollar, there's got to be balance in it somewhere. Got to be some balance in our lives as a working class man where you say, okay, and I'm going to say this, young folks, but choosing a career, I believe, is something to be studied about, prayed about very much, because it can eat so much of your time and your efforts versus finding that balance. You know, if you're very poor, it's going to bring upon us some hardships. And the Bible teaches that you really don't need to be that way. And you don't really need to be very rich either. But there is some balance that's in between that I believe that the Bible teaches us that we need to find ourselves as Christians, that we can stay involved in doing God's work, that we can stay involved in doing the things that we have more time to do, more things in God's work and in His kingdom, and provide the fruits and the works for God and getting Him the glory for all those things. So what are we coveting after? Are we coveting after money to the point where eats up time through our lives, that it does affect us being here at church? It affects us doing the work that we need to do, the visits, church work, getting something handed to us from the elders, from the evangelists, some duties to do, some things that we find out in our lives that we would try, but man, I ain't got time to do that. And you know, that's some of the things that we have to find out in our life, that what careers we choose from, where we're traveling, what we're doing, what lifestyle we choose, many times is going to supersede that, the church work. And the superseding of getting worldly things, I believe it's a delusion. I believe it's a snare. Yeah, I believe it's truly a snare. And I'll tell you that I remember as a kid, I used to set traps out, try to catch coyote and bobcat and raccoon and different things. I would take these number two Victor steel traps. I'd boil them down, put all kinds of bark and different things to stain them upright, and got my scent off of them. And I went to a class one time from one of the ag, what am I trying to say? Brandon is his type career. It was a man who taught nothing but that, though. Worked for the government. And he taught how to trap animals. And so he got with me and showed me how to set out traps. You laid out a cloth and you stand on top of it, wore rubber boots, set your trap, wore gloves. You sifted your dirt, put a little paper over the pan, sifted your dirt. You made the ground or where that trap was look like the rest of the ground. And then you stepped away, maybe drop a little scent of some kind, but you stepped away, took the dirt you dug out and go get rid of it. I mean, you had every precaution that you could think of to catch you a coyote. I believe that Satan does that. I think Satan sets very sneaky traps for us. And if we don't believe so, I believe that we can get caught up in life, and it's a grim reminder that slowly you find out, oh my goodness, I got snared. You know, we as Christians has got to be like the coyote. We've got to be sneaky. I would go up to those traps after all that, and that coyote come over and dug out from one corner of that trap and flipped my trap over. And it was hard for me to catch them. They were difficult to catch, and we as Christians must be that way. We don't need to let Satan catch us. We must be very difficult to catch. And it's going to be things in this world that will catch us that many times we just think it won't, but it can. Let's make sure that we don't let the pleasures of this life get us hung up in those areas. Luke 12 and 19 says, "And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. I know thy works. Thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, and thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. From the scriptures that I read about pleasures of life, it's not a good trade. We need to have Jesus in our life. We need to have him there throughout our life. When you think about pleasures of life, we can continue to read about it. In Luke 12, it says, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after, all these pleasures. But your Father knoweth that you have need of these things, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. When we think about all of these things, really, truly, we got to come to a point, I believe, into our lives where we start dividing want and need and live content in our lives. We see the things in our lives that we truly don't have to have so much of, where we're pulling ourselves away from family and from many times from church work, but we're having to put ourselves into the work in order to pay for these things that we don't need. We see here it tells us that it's God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. He wants the best for us, to give us the kingdom. And that we shouldn't have to be out seeking all those things all the time. He knows what we're in need of, and he will give it to us. In conclusion, we can read about, again, deceit and honesty, and the contradiction of that to itself. Proverbs 22 and 5, thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doeth keep his sow, or grabs his sow, takes care of his sow, shall be far from them. When you think about honesty, it says, Proverbs 16, 17, the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. So what's your choice right now in ending here, brethren? Continue to fall in the thorns and the snares of deceit, dishonesty and lies, cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches, pleasures. But what have we read today? It will destroy you. There's no guidance. There's no direction. It won't deliver. But when you keep an honest heart, when you take those scriptures and read them and take them for the simplicity that they are, and we seek God first in our lives, that we use it to preserve and we keep our soul, and using God's word, we guard us against those things of Satan. It's God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom, and he will guide us, he will direct us, and he will give us those things. He will deliver. I don't know the hearts and the minds of those that are here at this time. Brethren, we speak about these things and choose these subjects many times because it's things in all of our lives as Christians that we fight against. I know that at times if there's weak points in your life and you need the prayers of the church, by all means, choose the direction and the guidance of thinking about God's word, the honesty of it, and put it in an honest and good heart and let it go to work. Don't let it be deceiving is what we spoke about. Don't let the things and the cares of this world get us drawn away. Be strong in your life.